first today as part of our Decision Maker series in the studio is the Chief Commissioner, Ken Lay. If you'd like to speak to him, give us a call now, 96900 693 13 13 32. Ken Lay, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
First, if we could, this case of Leon Firth down at Middle Park, a man trying to hurt himself, opens a gas bottle, explosion, hurts three police badly, three firefighters, not quite as badly. Yesterday, a magistrate dismissed all 21 charges. I've already got a lot of emails and contacts from police upset about this. Do you want to take it further?
Neil, we're just working through the decision now. It was obviously a pretty emotional day in the court, if you believe what you read in the papers about the magistrate being quite upset. But we need to understand what our next option might be. But that, truthfully, is secondary to our three people. Two of them are still working pretty hard to get over injuries, and certainly Victoria Police's focus at the moment is helping both Emma Varley and Tony get back to full health. But look, it's another challenge for those three members. I'll try and catch up with all three of them today on the phone and see how things are going. But it's another challenge for them. But we'll going back to the case, we'll have a look at the decision. We'll consider our options and we'll do whatever's best for our three members.
Would you like to take it further if possible?
Look, Neil, I need to get the advice. This is a really difficult matter, and it's clouded by our three members and this terrible injuries that they received. So I'll take the best possible legal advice. If there's a case to pursue it in other jurisdictions, clearly we'll do that. But again, my thoughts predominantly at the moment with those three people who have still got some enormous battles in front
of them. They're still struggling physically, are they?
Yeah, they are. And look, two in particular are struggling, and they're getting one really good thing about Victoria Police, and you get this, you understand it, you've seen it over the years. When our people are in strife, when they're being hurt, the organisation is wonderful in the way it wraps themselves around these people, and that's occurred on this occasion. But it's going to have to be for the long term. They've got, as I say, some real challenges ahead of them. This is but one of them, the court case. We'll do whatever's best for these three members, and I'll take the best possible legal advice I can about where we go with possible charges.
Well, you could understand if they're upset. 21 charges all thrown out, and they're all badly injured.
And look, I can understand there'll be a large part of my workforce that is angry. And I get that as well. We go back to that Saturday night in January, and the truth is we could have lost very easily two members that night. Probably three, but two were lucky to survive. So there's an enormous amount of feeling in the organisation about these three people doing their job, trying to save someone who'd said they were going to commit suicide and nearly paid for it with their lives. So Neil, the way I'm feeling about this is at the moment the focus has got to be on the three members. The court case is secondary. It's important. Yes, it is important. It's important we understand what the next step is. But the real focus for me, the real focus for most of the organisation is on these three people.
Good. Another issue, the Police Association says you need more police on the streets to tackle the alcohol issue. Do you need increased numbers?
Look, there's no doubt that we need to focus our police resources on these issues. I've described what I think Victoria Police needs fairly broadly in the blue paper. In that consultation process, it was really, really clear that the backbone of Victoria Police will always be the men and women who drive the divisional vans and respond to crime. I think, though, that we've got a model in some spaces where we could free up a lot of uniformed police and put them on the on these really difficult issues. I still scratch my head sometimes when I look at some of our police stations who have got two people sitting at counters during the night shift waiting for someone to come in to report a crime. We know that most of these people go to police stations these days to get stat decks signed and the like, in most police stations. So, look, the answer's not simple. It's complex. Yes, we need more people at the ball, and that can be achieved by investing in police, and that's also can be achieved by using our police a lot smarter in areas where they're not being as utilised as smartly as they might be.
Does that mean you'd look at perhaps closing some of those stations and not have them open all night?
Look, Neil, I think there, or we know with some of the work we've done, that we could close doors on some of the smaller police stations at night time, have people out on the road instead of sitting behind police stations, and get people to crime scenes quicker and respond quicker and be patrolling and be seen. But we've got ourselves stuck in this model where communities feel safe if they see a police station there with the light on. We know there's lots of examples where if we have those people driving around, responding quickly, people can ring, call, and we can get to them quickly. The days of people walking into police stations, they're from our generation, Neil. You know, people still do it from time to time, and some of the bigger stations are very, very busy. But the days of people walking into a police station to report a crime, get a licence, get a shooter's licence, go for a driving test, get their old MRB registration, they're gone. So I'm not sure we've responded as quickly as we should to that.
We're in caretaker period at the moment because of the election, but when there is a new government, will you argue to that new government for more numbers?
Well, I would suspect that when we have the new government will have made a commitment to what the numbers look like. I will certainly be advocating very, very strongly along the lines of modernising Victoria Police, and I think I've got a very, very strong case. Sometimes this piece gets lost in the blue paper discussions, Neil. The absolute backbone of Victoria Police are the men and women that turn up at crimes, that drive around in the divisional van and are seen. But there's a very, very complex bit behind that. The organised crime, the cyber crime, the child pornography, the bikies, the ICE epidemic that can't be resolved by men and women responding to crime.
But the blue paper has not been discussed much since you released it. It has, I mean, it got swamped a little at the time, and I would have thought it would be an election issue. It's not, is it? Disappointed by that?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm very confident that that both sides of politics understand very, very clearly the Victoria Police view about what the future looks like.
Neither is committed, though.
Oh, well, I guess that'll come in the next couple of weeks when law and order policies are rolled out. I suspect that'll occur. You know, I'm not privy to that, but certainly I think I've made a strong case to the community and through the community to the politicians that we need to think about doing things a little differently.
Well, what is the key thing there? I mean, I speak to both leaders. What is the key area in your blue paper that needs addressing?
Neil, you know, often people will talk about the blue paper being about police stations and closing police stations and reducing numbers on the front line. It's not about that, but what we've got to is a model where we put police into geographical areas. And we've done that for 161 years. And that was great when the local crooks were arrested by the local coppers and taken to the local court to be dealt with. But that's all changed. Look, crime now occurs on the internet, occurs across state borders, occurs across international borders. And you know, when I talk about organised crime, when I talk about bikies, when I talk about ICE, when I talk about some of the child paedophilia that's occurring on the internet, men and women driving around in divisional vans can't resolve that. I need to get the resources to those issues that are driving the crime that the vans are responding to. So that's forensic accountants. That's analysts. That's people that can help our detectives track down the money, disrupt crime.
So it's unsworn stuff.
Look, a big part of it is that. A big part of it
that's
is
resources.
That.
Resources? We're talking resources.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, look, the blue paper argues that very, very strongly. And to me, it makes sense. But we sometimes get into this argument that it's either men and women on the street in blue shirts, or it's closed police stations and it's unsworn specialists. It's not a binary argument. It's in between that. It's a bit of both.
Hello, Greg. Go ahead, please, Greg.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask the Commissioner, why does it take 2 years to get in? You've got people dying, desperate to get into the police force. You get no feedback from recruiting, nothing at all. It takes over 6 months just to do a background check to get into the academy. Yeah. It's a disgrace.
Yeah. Look, we have many, many people trying to join Victoria Police. And I do hear this occasionally, that the feedback is not as good as it should be. You may be aware that we have a system where we rank an order of merit, and we actually take the what we consider the very best people who are suited to policing. And that results in people that might be down that list a little longer to get in. So, I understand we're not as good as we should be sometimes in this space. And it's something where we continually test recruiting on to be responsive. And I suspect in your case, we haven't been as responsive as we should have been.
We'll take a quick break. More from Ken Lay in a moment, specifically sexism in the police force.
U.com.au.
The Chief Commissioner is with me. Mr. Lay, you told me some time ago that the OPP had a brief on the matter of the dictaphone that was lost at a Labor Party conference, and then the information on that spread. Has that come back to you yet?
No, it hasn't yet, Neil. The latest I have was about, I think it was about 10 days ago, I had advice that it was about 2 weeks away. So I'm expecting that advice any day.
And it will be released before the election?
Yeah, look, absolutely. There's an enormous amount of interest, obviously, and I need to make sure that the decision one way or the other is out in the public arena, obviously, and we'll just, when the advice comes, no matter when it comes, we'll provide some advice to the community when it does.
How many women have you got in Victoria Police?
How many women?
What percentage?
The total organisation, we've got 33% is are women. Now that includes our unsworn people. Uniform people, we've got 26%.
Would you like more?
Yeah, I would.
You got a target?
Well, we don't have targets as such, but Neil, we need to be representative of our community, and for many, many, many years, we've been a male-dominated organisation, and that sometimes results in a certain type of culture that's not as helpful as it might be. So, in the last decade, particularly, We've increased our number of women in Victoria Police by about, I think it was from 9% up to the current 26%. So it's good. It makes us a better organisation. You go to the research and it talks about organisations being more effective, more efficient, more productive when the gender balance is right. Often we miss that piece. You get into the discussion whether you need more women, and you find yourself in this mess where you're talking about targets or, you know, gender inequality
quotas,
and quotas and not being fair to men and the like. But we're working quietly about making the organisation attractive to everyone in our community, no matter their gender, no matter their ethnicity. So,
but you obviously believe there's been a problem in the way women have been treated. Is that still happening?
Yeah.
What? Why? What's happening?
Look, Neil, over certainly my time, well, before I was commissioner, every now and again you'd see data that was just frightening, where generally always men, would think it was their right and entitlement to target young women in the organisation, often take advantage of them. So we were seeing groping, we were seeing some indecent assaults, we were seeing threats or suggestions that people wouldn't be promoted or wouldn't be progressed unless they complied with demands of often sexual demands, and it was grubby, it was offensive, and I'm not sure that we had a really good handle on exactly how much of it was occurring.
So it's still going on now?
Yep, you bet. So in the last 3 years, we've had 20 separate investigations. Of those investigations, 4 have been proven. A couple of people have left the organisation. A couple of people have been demoted. 7 are currently ongoing. The worrying thing for me, though, 9 of those have been found not to be substantiated. Neil, I know from my experience in when you look at broader sexual assault issues, broader family violence issues, underreporting is a major, major problem. I have no doubt at all that we have men in our organisation, and I must stress, be very, very clear that it's a very small number, but we have some men in our organisation that target women, often around trying to receive some sort of sexual favour. I watched with interest over the last couple of years Elizabeth Broderick's work with the ADF. Elizabeth is the Human Rights Commissioner, the Federal Human Rights Commissioner. Yep. I've spoken to her on a number of occasions about my challenges and what this looks like and how we make the organisation better. And as a result of that conversation, she's linked us in with Commissioner Jenkins.
Is there a problem, a broader problem with bullying, not just sexual?
Yep. There's no doubt at all that from time to time we see some bullying behaviours. And again, this has been a cultural issue for 160 years. We are starting to make some inroads into this, though. This bullying results in stress and depression and all sorts of other illnesses. We're doing some interesting work at the moment with Beyond Blue and the Police Association to try and get on top of that. I couldn't stand here and put my hand on my heart, Neil, and say we've got this beaten, because we haven't. Every now and again, another issue will pop up, and sadly, it's sometimes related to member suicide.
Mm. Can I ask you a couple of quick questions? We had a man, Kim Murray, called yesterday accusing PSOs of using excessive force, arm badly broken when they dragged him off a bike. Is that being investigated?
Being investigated, and my initial advice, Neil, is we have someone trying to cross a train line with the boom gates down. One train's gone past. We know there's another train coming, allegedly. This person's tried to cross the line. The PSO's worried about his safety, approached him, and there's a confrontation's taken place. We don't want this sort of thing to happen, but I must say this. We have millions of contacts with people with the PSOs, and this is a very, very rare occurrence.
And very quickly, are you investigating that website that's selling uniforms from Metro and Yarra Trams?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming in.
Great, Neil. Thank you.
Chief Commissioner Ken Lay, we are coming up to the 9 o'clock news. 96900 693 131332. Outdoor education. Is it getting wound up at the schools? I want to look at that. And also, yep, the Reds are coming. See, they're almost here.